As early as May 1st, Chinese climbers plan to carry a specially designed Olympic torch to the summit of Mount Everest on the border of Tibet and Nepal. In the meantime, other climbers have been barred from climbing above Camp 2 until the torch relay is completed on May 10th. The extreme weather fluctuations on the mountain give climbers a small window of opportunity to make their ascent, so the ban may put some at a disadvantage. What's worse, Nepalese soldiers guarding the slopes were given authority to use deadly force to squelch any protests. Not the most favorable conditions to climb the world's highest peak. Mountaineer and filmmaker David Brashears joins us to talk about the conditions on the mountain and how climbers keep up their morale even in the toughest of situations. If you're a climber, or if you've climbed Mount Everest, or if you want to talk with David, give us a call. Our number here in Washington is 800-989-8255. Our email address is talk@npr.org. And you can also comment on our blog. It's at npr.org/blogofthenation. In 1985, David Brashears became the first American to reach the summit of Everest twice. He has summited Everest 5 times, the 5th of which was to film Frontline's upcoming Storm Over Everest about the 1996 Mount Everest tragedy. And he joins us now from member station WGBH in Boston. Welcome to the program.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
Now, I wonder if you can give us a sense of the conditions that these climbers are facing right now as they await their opportunity to climb Mount Everest.
Well, first of all, I think they're deeply frustrated. They would have arrived at base camp at 17,600 feet in early April after a 8 or 9 day trek from the Lukla airstrip at 9,200 feet. And during the past month or past 3 weeks, they would have been building camps and acclimatizing on the mountain, climbing from base camp up to camp one at 19,300 feet, and then making your way up further into the Western Coombe up to camp two, which we call advanced base camp, and spending nights there, and often returning back to base camp for good rest, sleep in your own tent. The Sherpas cook for you there, and you sleep much better there. So I would think there's a lot of confusion there now. And some of the contact we've had with climbers at base camp, the accounts I've been reading about, is they're not sure how high they can go on the mountain during the ban from May 1st to May 10th, whether they can stay up at Camp 2 or if they have to come back down to base camp at 17,600 feet.
And I gather there's a limited window of opportunity for them to make the climb. Is that right, just in terms of weather? Or?
It's very unpredictable, the weather on Everest. It seems like the weather window has been coming later and later in the year. Last year alone, over 500 people climbed Everest in a single season. And that window came after May 14th, May 15th. Two of my ascents of Everest were on May 23rd. I've climbed Everest also on May 17th. So the key is the window, but more importantly is being prepared and ready for to climb during that window. And that means that during this 10-day period, it's of absolute necessity that the Sherpas are able to carry the oxygen bottles and the tents and the sleeping bags and the fuel and food and everything else up to the high camp at Camp 4. At 26,000 feet. So that equipment needs to be in place to be ready for the climbers so they can make their attempt when the window is there.
Well, does this mean that some of these climbers will not be able to get to the top?
You know, I don't see that happening. First of all, I think the Chinese team is going to be on top much earlier than we suspect. Chinese very experienced mountaineers. Climbed the mountain many times from the north, from the Tibetan side. They're very determined. They're very. They would be very. I think they would like to have the this over with, so that the climbers on the south side can continue up the mountain, and all of this controversy goes away. But the climbers will be challenged to be ready to go after May 10th if there is an early weather window.
Now, I've read that satellite phones, computers, cameras have been confiscated. Is that true? Do you know if that's right?
Yes. Some of that has been going on. Those are the rules put in place by the Nepalese government and the Ministry of Tourism, and there are people at base camp, ranging from liaison officers to military soldiers to diplomatic officials who are there to make sure that the climbers comply with these new regulations, which, of course, were put into place by the Nepalese government at the request of the Chinese government.
So these climbers find themselves in a very political situation. I wonder if any of them are even sympathetic to the causes of those who have been protesting the torch relay, for example?
I think that Western mountaineers tend to empathize greatly with the Tibetan cause. I think that's why the Chinese would have the sense that there would be protests on the south side. Here is the nightmare scenario for the Chinese climbing team, the team with the torch, and one that is extremely unlikely to occur now, and that would be climbers from the south with their Tibetan flags and Free Tibet banners time their ascent to the top, to the summit, with the ascent of the Chinese team. And I don't know what the Chinese are doing now about their live broadcast from the summit or photography or radio broadcast. I'm not informed about that. But I do know that that would be a very ugly situation for both sides. And that is what they're trying to avoid. And by confiscating the gear at base camp, they hope to avoid broadcasts, protests, people holding up Tibetan flags and saying Free Tibet. They hope to avoid that being made available to the Western media at what is a very photogenic and emblematic place of our planet.
We're talking with filmmaker and mountaineer David Brashears, and you're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. We're going to take a call from Michael now. He's in Hartford, Connecticut. Hi, Michael.
Hi. I just wrote a book called High Crimes about the troubles on Mount Everest, and the Tibetan side of Mount Everest is actually closed altogether. They're not even allowing climbers into base camp or into Tibet at all. And I'm curious to ask David if he thinks that climbers who are frustrated in their attempts to get to Mount Everest on the Tibetan side will come to the Nepal side of the mountain, and if that's going to complicate things even more.
So that must be Michael Korda, and I read your book. I know that once the Chinese closed down the northern side of the mountain, that's the Tibetan side, after the riots and protests in March 10th to 13th, that a lot of expeditions had to think of alternatives. There was also going to be climbing on Choyoyu, another big 8,000-meter peak. So I would think that some of the operators, the agencies that run those trips, change their plans and are on the south side. It's there is, as you know, Michael, problems with overcrowding on the mountain, and so we'll see what that leads to this year. But I think the real problem facing climbers is this ban on being high on the mountain, high enough to acclimatize from May 1st to May 10th. And but I also know that weather is unpredictable on Everest. This ban is something that is could not have been predicted. And I think climbers are first and foremost adaptable. They have to learn to wait for weather. They have to change their plans. And I think the best teams on the south side will be patient, will be thoughtful about it, find ways to keep their members' morale up and to keep them acclimatized, and that after May 10th passes, things will go along at a fairly brisk pace on the mountain.
All right. Thanks for your call, Michael.
Thank you. One quick follow-up. Do you think there will be any Western climbers on the Tibetan side of the mountain this year?
Oh, there are none. Absolutely not. There are armed police on the north side. There are no Westerners allowed into Tibet at the moment, aside from the journalists who were invited to travel to the north side base camp with the torch, and they should be there today. Although they aren't getting very good information about where the torch is on the north side of the mountain. But right now, there are no Western climbers in Tibet. and a handful of Westerners are journalists under close supervision by their Chinese minders.
Do you think that any of the climbers will risk whatever retaliation might occur in order to launch some kind of protest?
Well, you know, I would hope not. One fellow already has. His name was William Holland, and he was found at base camp with a, I believe it was a Tibetan flag, in his bag, and they expelled him from the country and are not allowing him to return to climb for 2 years. So, the Nepalese are extremely serious about this, and in a way, it is a privilege, not a right, to climb a mountain in a foreign country. And as uncomfortable and unpleasant as those rules may seem, the Chinese are linked very closely in a very strong relationship with China. It wouldn't make them look good to have their attempt to keep the protests away from the mountain go wrong. And so one has to avoid becoming a bit of a single-minded crusader in a situation like this, when it can cause a lot of trouble for a lot of people, whether you agree with the situation on the mountain or not.
All right. Thanks so much for joining us. Thanks to our caller, Michael. I appreciate your calling in. And David Brashears, thanks to you for joining us today. David Brashears is a mountaineer and filmmaker. His new frontline film, Storm Over Everest, about the 1996 Mount Everest tragedy, airs on May 13th. For more information, go to our blog at npr.org/blogofthenation. Tomorrow, Neil Conan will be back, and we're bringing Ken Rudin back to the museum. This is Talk of the Nation from NPR News. I'm Lynn Neary in Washington.